This is Vigil Story Podcast number 919, October 31st, 2023. Today's theme is connecting a camera to your smartphone. Has it got better? I'm Derek Story. Our smartphones and tablets have such beautiful HD screens, sometimes 4K, and are so powerful too. They are a natural companion to our mirrorless cameras. Yet, despite Bluetooth and Wi-Fi, the whole process has been an exercise in frustration. Has it got any better? Find out on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. There are so many situations when I just want to see a photo on my iPhone or my iPad without having to remove the memory card, put it in a reader, launch the app, and go through the entire uploading and cataloging process. And I shouldn't have to. Every modern device has Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. This should be easy, but it hasn't. Have things changed? With my iPhone 15 Pro Max in hand, I decided to test some of these apps to get a feel for what's going on in the smartphone to mirrorless camera world of connectivity. I've tested apps from Nikon, OM System, and Fujifilm, which should give us a good representation of what's going on with these apps in general. Each app gets a grade, and then I have a little summary of, okay, here's where I think we are right now at the end of all this. All right, so this is going to be a lot of fun. Let's get to it. We're going to start out with the Nikon SnapBridge app and the Nikon ZF. Of course, the Nikon ZF is a camera I've been talking a lot about lately, so I decided to include it in this because I haven't tested SnapBridge for a long time. I go, all right, this is perfect. Glad I have it. And I want to use this functionality anyway. I'm doing things with the ZF, such as testing vintage lenses. And I want to see how they perform. Did the image stabilization work? What do I have to do to get the image stabilization to work? And I just want to take the picture, then I want to have it show up on my iPad or my iPhone where I can really dig into it, maybe edit it if I need to. But this is not something that I want to go in my Capture One catalog. This is not fine art. This is just testing stuff and getting a better look at it. And I want this to go fast. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time going back and forth with a memory card on this. So this is where that Wi-Fi connectivity is really important to me. And this is just one of many situations. I'm going to start out with the grade and then I'll explain why. So Nikon gets a grade C. And they were very close to a B, and I'll explain why they have a C. You know, when everything works as it's supposed to, this combination is pretty good, SnapBridge and the ZF. You can remotely control the camera with the iPhone. You can download pictures in a variety of resolutions, which I really appreciate it. And you can make that choice on the fly each time. And they give you three different choices, going from original to really small. And they have a medium size, too. I thought that was really neat. The design of the app, the interface, is good. It's nice and clean and it's functional. You can automatically geotag pictures with this app, which is super important to me. There's all sorts of stuff, and it has a lot of ways for you to customize your experience in terms of, you know, how your smartphone interacts with the ZF. So I loved all of that stuff. I love the design and, you know, the ambition of this app. Now, the Bluetooth side of the equation works well. You know, once you set up AutoLink and you pair the devices, they find each other nearly instantly. And this is really important when you want to use geotagging for the images you capture with the ZF. The geotagging uses Bluetooth. For me, after doing these tests, thank goodness, right? Thank goodness it's not Wi-Fi. The smart Bluetooth that we have today is the way that these devices can communicate location information. So hallelujah for that. When you want to start to do other things, this is where the trouble creeps in a little bit. Remote photography, for instance, I want to control the camera with the iPhone from a distance. I want to be able to focus different areas, change settings, all that. See on the screen a live view representation of what the camera's seeing, you know, all that stuff. That requires a Wi-Fi connection. The other thing that requires a Wi-Fi connection is downloading images off the camera, which is a functionality that I really want, right? I want to be able to just grab them off the SD card and put them into my mobile device. The problem with the Wi-Fi and the ZF and SnapBridge, at least in these early days of this partnership between the two of them, is that it's unstable. For instance, right away, you know, I have the Bluetooth and then I want to go to do something that requires a Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi connect will be enabled. It'll take a little bit. Oh, yay. Yeah, okay, we've got it. And then I'll go to download a picture and then it'll drop it. It'll drop the connection, which is really frustrating. And then once it drops it, it's sometimes hard to reestablish the connection again. Suddenly it goes, well, I'm not doing any of that. And then I've had it where it even dropped the Bluetooth as well. And suddenly it's like, I don't know you. I don't know you at all. So what I had to do in those situations was turn off the Wi-Fi. Just turn it off, you know, everywhere in the app and on the camera, and just say no Wi-Fi and just go with Bluetooth only. As soon as I did that, then all the Bluetooth stuff worked great and Bluetooth was solid as a rock. So they've got to work out this Wi-Fi thing with the ZF and SnapBridge. I hope they do, because I really like the app. I like all the features that it has, but I can't depend on the Wi-Fi. And you know, if the Wi-Fi is going to go wrong, it's going to go wrong when you're in a pinch and you really need it, right? So if I can't depend on the Wi-Fi, I really can't give it a grade higher than C. Okay, the second tandem, OI Share with an OM system, OM1. And they get B+. They get a B+. You know, this app, OI Share, has evolved steadily over the years, and its current version is the most stable and functional to date. Now, I will say, it's been a long road to get here. The early days of OI Share drove me crazy. And so much so that I stopped even trying to use it. And that's one of the reasons why I'm doing this podcast. If you had a similar experience, whether you have a Nikon or a Canon, Fujifilm, OM system, whatever, if you had a similar experience back a couple years ago and you've just given up on the whole thing, I think it's time to revisit. You know, the hardware is newer, the spec for the connectivity is newer, they've been working on the apps, all that stuff. So I would encourage you to revisit your smartphone to mirrorless camera, wireless connection, and see if things are better than they were last time you experienced it. My guess is they will be. Getting back to OI Share, the setup is fairly straightforward. You know, the smartphone scans a QR code that shows up on the back of the camera. And once that connection is made, you can do all the things that we'd expect. You can remotely control the camera. You can import photos, including RAWs, which is very cool. And you do have choices what size the JPEGs are if you want to download them. You can do full size or you can do a smaller size. You can edit pictures with OI Share, and you have access to all the art filters. And this is a really neat feature. So in other words, let's say you shot the shot straight. Boom, just straight. But then you go, oh, I would really like to use whatever, dramatic tone or whatever, any of these fantastic art filters that Olympus has in there. You can apply the art filter in post using this app. And I think that's pretty fabulous, being able to do that. You can add geotags, and you can even update the firmware of the camera and or the lens using this app. So it's very robust. It has continued to evolve, has all sorts of goodies in there, has all sorts of settings, and you can customize it to the way that you want to work. Now, both the Bluetooth and the Wi-Fi connections are stable. And this is a biggie, because the Wi-Fi being stable is not a common thing, and they've done a good job with this. My beef is it does take a little time to fire up. So it's kind of this thing, all right, do you want it fast or do you want it good? And I think what OHM System's doing right now, they're saying, well, we want both, but we're going to make it good first, and then we're going to keep trying to make it faster. I feel like that's what they're doing, because you need the Wi-Fi, again, to download pictures and to remotely control the camera. But I'll tell you, once that Wi-Fi is established, it was pretty stable. I have to say, it wasn't dropping me and doing things like that. So that I truly appreciated. Also, the real-time geotagging has improved. I don't like it quite as much as I did with the Nikon or the Fujifilm, because you sort of set up this, you know, this logging sort of active thing, and then it will geotag the pictures. But getting it just to geotag the pictures without logging was a little difficult to sort of unwind there. I couldn't quite figure it out. But if you just turn it on and let it roll, then everything gets geotagged, and that's what I want. You know, you don't even have to launch the app for geotagging to engage. As long as the Bluetooth connection is established, off to the races they go. And if you have questions if that's working or not, on the back of the camera, on the LCD, you get to both, you know, the Bluetooth notification that that's active, and you also get a geotag icon to let you know that that's active. So you can just check it by looking on the back of the camera. I thought it was really nice. So this Tandem has definitely improved, has a lot of features. It's very solid, and I give it, you know, a B plus. I give it a B plus. And the only thing that's keeping it from being an A right now is just that Wi-Fi connectivity. It seems longer than I want, you know, and you have to do, you know, you have to say join the network and all that. I feel like that we should be able to establish some sort of compatibility between the camera and smartphone, and should be able to remember it and not have to, you know, reestablish that each time, all that. I think some of that could be smoothed out. If they could ever smooth that out, they would be an A. It's really, really terrific little app and camera, and they work well together. The Fujifilm X app with the X100V, and they get a grade B. So Fujifilm photographers were not happy with the previous version of their smartphone app. In fact, I would say they were very unhappy. And Fujifilm took a lot of heat for that earlier app. So they just went back to the drawing board, and they created a brand new app, and it's called X App, and it's got a new icon, everything. And in fact, you have to start from scratch in order to set up your camera. If your camera was set up with the old app and you want to be connected to X App, you know, you have to go through, like, you're starting all over again sort of thing. It's worth it, because X App is a lot better than the previous app. Now, X App provides a variety of functions that we would expect: geotagging, importing pictures, remote control, backing up camera settings, and firmware updates. And so this is all very handy. The user interface has been redesigned. It's very attractive, pretty easy to navigate your way around. Now, the Bluetooth connection works great. All you have to do is launch the app when the camera's on, and they'll see each other right away. And then you can just walk around with the phone in your pocket, and from that point on, they'll be talking away. You can take pictures, and they'll be geotagged if you have that turned on. It all works really well, and I've been using the geotagging feature with the X100V since the beginning. Even with the older app, it wasn't terrible. So I think that's something that they do really well. Now, just like with the other apps, Wi-Fi is required for importing pictures and for remote control. And the Wi-Fi works pretty well, but I've had to initiate the connection more than once to get it enabled. So I would say it's more stable than the previous app, but sometimes they just don't want to talk to each other. And it feels like whenever they don't want to talk to each other is when you really want them to talk to each other, when you really want to grab those photos off the camera and get them to the phone. So there's still some wobbles there. However, when it works well, and it works most of the time. So that's why they have a B. I would say most of the time, this app is pretty steady eddy and fairly dependable, and the features and functionality on it are good. And if they could just further streamline and stabilize that Wi-Fi connection, they would get an A as well. And that's the Fujifilm app with the X100V. So after I finished this testing, I had some overall observations, and these probably apply to the Canon app and the other apps as well. They're probably moving along about, you know, the same speed. One of the things I noticed is that the more I used all three camera apps on the smart device with the camera, the better they got. They just seemed to connect faster. They just seemed to be more stable. They just seemed to get to know each other. And so I was thinking, okay, if you're interested in this sort of functionality, then I would just fire up those apps and just do something on a semi-regular basis. Just keep everything kind of fresh and connected, because it feels like there truly is some sort of learning curve there, or familiarity, or something's going on where they work better the more that you use them. The other thing that I noticed is that the Bluetooth works well on all of them. And so when you only need Bluetooth functionality, which would be mainly for geotagging, that's fantastic. They would all get an A if that's, you know, all we had to do. It's when you bring Wi-Fi into the picture, Wi-Fi functions are where the apps would struggle, if they were going to struggle at all. Don't let the Wi-Fi situation, you know, keep you away from the Bluetooth situation, which can be quite good. And again, for geotagging, all three of them, and I think probably all of them, that's Bluetooth, and that works great. So just sort of keep that in mind. And then the last thing I'll say, if you're using an iPhone, the nice thing about it is all the apps put the pictures, you know, into Photos for iOS, into iCloud automatically. So they're just there. And I really like that, because, you know, now they're backed up. Now, if I just open up my laptop, I can look at the image, you know, that whole thing that I really like. When you use it with iOS, going straight to Photos is really terrific. It just gives you a lot of options for how you want to view the picture and save it and share it and all that good stuff. So to answer the question at the top of the show, have things improved? Yes, they have. They really have. And especially with OI Share, I think they've improved with the Fujifilm app. SnapBridge is so close to being there. They just got to get rid of the wobbles in the Wi-Fi. I mean, they're all better. They're all worth using. If you haven't done this connectivity for a while, I think it's time to revisit it, because these functions are very handy and they're great to have. And I feel like the more that you use them, the better they get. And I think the apps are going to keep getting better as well. So I would say it is a positive situation, and certainly much better than it was a few years ago. Join us for the next online inkjet printing workshop, and this is coming up on November 29th, only a month away, and we have some open seats. I'm very excited about this workshop. We have a great group already, and I opened up some more seats on this. Some of the people that were going to come to this one, they went to a previous one, and I forget the account for it and all that. So registration is open for the online inkjet printing workshop coming up on November 29th. The way it works is we meet every Wednesday, and we have two time slots a day. We have a morning time slot, and for most of you, an evening time slot. You can pick the one that you want to attend. You can attend them both if you want. And we just do that for 4 weeks. And this is a terrific workshop. And you also get admission to our online printing workspace that we have on Derek Story Online. And this is a great workspace, because we've run this workshop now, I think, what, three times already. All those people are living in that space. They're hanging out in that community. They're still talking about printing. They're there to answer your questions. So you become part of this group, this community that has been through the workshop. They enjoy printing, and they each have their own expertise. And I think that part's really fun. And the minute you sign up for the workshop, you're admitted into that group. So even though we don't start until November 29th, you'll be able to start asking questions and getting feedback. Let's say that you're thinking about getting a new printer. You want to know what kind of paper to get, stuff like that. You can start doing that right now. You don't have to wait till November 29th. You'll be in the group right away. So I think that part is really fun as well. You know, we cover paper stocks, printing setups, project design, how to choose the best inkjet photo printer for you if you're wondering that. And, you know, this is just in time for the holidays, so you'll be able to create fine art printing cards right now and prints and all that kind of stuff that make fantastic gifts for the holidays. You know, this is a chance to really show off your work in a completely different way. You're not going to give someone an email for the holidays with a picture attached to it, right? But if you give them a set of fine art printed cards from a trip that you went on and you pick the 6 best shots and they have matching envelopes and they're on nice paper and they're scored professionally and all that stuff, yeah, that's a real gift and people will love that. They will absolutely love it. And so this workshop's in time for you to do that kind of stuff. Now, all you have to do to sign up is there's a link in the show notes. You can click on that link. You can go to thenimblephotographer.com and go to workshops there. You can go to The Digital Story, click on workshops. You can find it in all those places. Now, the top one, the earlier one, will say sold out. Just scroll down a bit more. And the November, December one is there and it won't be sold out. There are still seats open. This is a fun workshop. I think you would really enjoy it. And if you've been thinking about, okay, I want to actually learn how to get some good prints out of my printer, sign up for this workshop and we will get you to that point. Canon is actively conducting market research on a retro style camera. You can read this entire story on canonrumors.com, and I have a link to it in the show notes. Let me read you a little bit about what they say. I think this is interesting. Back in August, we spent a bit of time reading between the lines about a retro influences Canon camera from comments made by a Canon executive. The topic was brought up in response to the hype around Nikon's ZF retro camera body. Now, it appears that Canon is actively asking customers which of their most iconic camera bodies customers would like to see again with a modern take. According to the Federation of Independent Photographers, Canon has been officially conducting market research through multiple channels, getting feedback from Canon shooters about which camera they'd like to bring back. The top 4 choices for a retro-inspired EOS camera are the Canonette QL17, which is a rangefinder, Canon P, Canon F1, and the top-selling Canon AE1. While there are a few Debbie Downers out there that say, who cares what a camera looks like? We have seen a lot of excitement on the possibility of Canon paying homage to at least one of its iconic cameras. So this is kind of cool, actually. And my choice would be the Canon AE1. That is a beautiful camera design. I owned one and just love that camera. And, you know, I saw a picture of it again not too long ago. I particularly like the black one, but the silver one is really beautiful too. They made a Canon AE1 that was a lot like the ZF in terms of how it functioned and so forth. I think it'd be a home run. And especially if they gave us a really nice adapter for the Canon F mount for the old glass to, you know, the RF mount. People do talk about, well, who cares about this retro style and all that? It's not really the retro style. Having just spent, you know, an intense amount of time with the ZF, I will tell you, for me, they're just easier to operate. You know, it's just like everything is just right there. It just feels more natural. The camera does look better, in my opinion. And then if you put state-of-the-art electronics on the inside, the way that Nikon did, they're really fun shooting devices and they look so much better than what sometimes feels like a little bit of a polycarbonate blob, you know, with some few buttons on it. So I want Canon to go for this. I think they should do it. And if they really made it easy to use the old F-mount lenses And also, you know, the earlier autofocus lenses, wow, this could be a home run for them as well. I don't think Canon shooters would turn their back on this idea. Speaking of Canon, $1,000 off Canon's flagship camera. The Canon EOS R3 is now $4,999, which is $1,000 off its normal $5,999 price tag. This is a serious camera. The full-frame 24-megapixel BSI CMOS sensor has an updated Digic X processor, which helps boost the overall speed for up to 30 frames per second continuous shooting with electronic shutter, 6K 60p RAW, and 4K 120p video recording, plus intelligent dual-pixel CMOS 2 autofocus with eye control AF for intuitive focus point selection. The R3 is also the first EOS R series camera to feature a built-in vertical grip, making it an ergonomic choice for long shooting times and for seamlessly switching between horizontal and vertical shooting orientations. The rugged body design also incorporates a high-resolution 5.76 million dot OLED electronic viewfinder with a 3.2-inch vari-angle touchscreen LCD, dual memory card slots, wireless and wired connectivity, and an updated multifunctional shoe design for expanded accessory compatibility. So if you've been waiting to pull the trigger on this camera, on the flagship R3, now seems like a pretty good time to do it. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. Our Nimble Photographer newsletter is now publishing every Thursday. And this is a chance for me to talk about stories that are, you know, kind of we're working on, but maybe from a different angle. Last week's newsletter is a perfect example. I had done the review of the ZF on the podcast. And in the newsletter, I talked about the different types of Nikon vintage optics that mount to the ZF and then what the functionality is with each of those different types. And then I just kind of, you know, listed them all out, had pictures, the whole deal. So the newsletter is really a great opportunity for me to continue the conversation that starts earlier in the week with the podcast, or sometimes talk about something that happened after the podcast had dropped. Either way, it's free. It just shows up in your inbox and you can sign up for it by going to thenimblephotographer.com. You can sign up for the newsletter there. You can sign up for it on the digital story, or you can just go to Substack and search on The Nimble Photographer. It'll show up there. A big thanks to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that support this community month in and month out. And I should mention that if you're an Inner Circle member and you want to attend the online printing workshop that's coming up, you get a 10% discount, 10% off, boom, just by being an Inner Circle member. I have the discount code published on our Inner Circle site, on the Patreon site, and it's just one of the many benefits. My way of saying thank you for your continued support of this community. If you want to learn more about becoming an Inner Circle member, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the digital story, nose around a bit, you can sign up there. And then you too can be a part of the community and enjoy all the benefits, the camaraderie. It's really a great experience, and I'd love to see you there. And finally, I'd like to give a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. Guess what? Printing workshop, Red River Paper. The dynamic duel is back. We will be collaborating again on this workshop. They have so much knowledge. It's crazy how much information. Information that we really need and want to know that they can share, that boom, just rolls off their tongue. They've got all these tests going on. I mean, they test everything, different types of printers, papers, drivers, the whole deal. It's nuts how much they know about the printing process, and they make all of that information available to us, and they're going to help us out again with the online printing workshop. And I'm just so thankful to have a partner like Red River Paper helping us out and supporting this entire community. If you want to learn more about Red River Paper, they have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. You can click on that. nose around a bit, take a look at the tutorials, the reviews, the different types of paper, templates for making fine art cards, just really anything you want to know. Just dig around. You'll find it there, because this is a wealth of knowledge, this Red River Paper site. And then they also have a terrific community at facebook.com/Red River Paper. A big thanks to them for supporting this community, this podcast. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Working on more great stuff for next week. Until then, have a great week. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.